see so much going on in the land all the time. Just sometimes you just be riding. It's amazing to see so many people that don't stop at stoplights anymore. Don't stop at stop signs. Just don't obey rules. Just simple rules. Rules that are in place to keep you safe. You just be riding sometimes, and you just be riding normally. Then someone, you're stopping at a stop sign, and because they don't want to stop, they ride around you. Or you're stopping at a stoplight, and because the line is a little long from the stoplights, because people are waiting for people to cross the street, and people all the way in the back don't want to wait, so they ride illegally up shoulders and in the middle of the highway just to get in front of everybody and run right through the light. You see this all the time. You see it all the time. And I was riding yesterday, and I was thinking about that. I said, you know, people are just moving without a sense of fear, a sense of being submissive to rules or laws. And that thing just started weighing on my mind about the spirit of lawlessness. The spirit of lawlessness. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we can look at 8 through 11, but I really am only focusing on 9 and 10, but we can look at 8 through 11, because in the Living Bible we're going to look at it from 8 through 11, but I really am focusing on 9 and 10, but let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Starting at verse number 8 through 11.
You know that the law is good.
Yes.
If a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, and for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust.
All right, now, in the Living Bible, verse number 8 reads, those laws are good when used as God intended, but they were not made for us. And us would be the righteous, whom God has saved. They are for sinners who hate God, have rebellious hearts, curse and swear, attack their fathers and mothers, and murder. Yes, these laws are made to identify as sinners, all who are immoral and impure, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, and all others who do things that are contrary to the glorious good news of our blessed God, whose messenger I am. Now, when we look at this text, The word separates. It sanctifies. It separates those that want to do right from those that want to do wrong. The word does that. You notice how in verse number 9, it says that the law, and it's talking about the law, you can use that synonymously with the word of God. The word of God is made for the what? Is not made for the what? The righteous man. When you have laws or rules, they're not made really for the righteous person. They're not made for people that want to do right. Because people that want to do right are going to do right. The law is made for those that want to do wrong. And you think about Romans. Romans 3 says that. You go over to Romans 3 really quick. Romans 3 and verse number Let me get over here myself. Romans 3 and verse number 20. Or 3 and 19.
Now we know that what things whatsoever the law says, is that to them who are under the law.
Yes. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. See, the law was not made for the righteous person. It wasn't made for them because the righteous person has a mind to want to do right. But for those that have this, I'm going to do it my way, can't nobody tell me what to do attitude, I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Jesus says that's who the law is made for. For what reason? That their mouths may be stopped. Is there to prove them wrong? In other words, you may let the devil fool you to think that you could do what you want to do. But the word of God brings you back down to reality real hard. Lets you say, people say that, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll be so glad when I go off and I get grown and I won't have to listen to nobody. Well, see, the law is made for a person like that. It's to bring them back down to reality, to pull them off of their high horse, to get them out of that attitude that they think that they are running the show. That everything evolves around them. That they are the greatest thing coming. That's the attitude that goes along with that. It's that high-minded, arrogant attitude. When you got that mind and you say, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Jesus had already told you, we think like that because we're born in sin. All sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. We do things the way we want to do it. That's the kind of attitude we have. One writer in Proverbs said, there is a way that seems right to the man, but the end of it is the ways of death. It's the ways of destruction. When you have that, I'm going to do it the way I want to do attitude, you are looking to do what? Destroy yourself. That's the truth. That's why that Romans 3 is real important when it says that. It says now, what does it say there again? Yes. May be stopped. Yep. Ain't that something? One day, that spirit of lawlessness is going to bring you before a righteous God who is going to silence you. Silence your attitude. Silence that arrogant speech. You know, that high mind. That thought or that idea. That I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and as long as I want. That attitude to say, I'm grown. Can't nobody tell me what to do? That's the spirit of lawlessness. That's that spirit of lawlessness that drives you to think like that. But one writer says that one day your mouth is going to be what? Stopped. Right? Come on, is that what the scripture says there? Is that one day the law is going to stop your mouth? Huh? And the whole world, everyone that thinks like this, is going to be what? Guilty. Isn't that something? They move around you. They bypass these rules as though nobody is going to bring them into judgment. You ever see them? Sometimes they be looking to see if no cops are around. And they think because there ain't no police around that they're not going to be guilty. You're guilty. Why? Because you broke the law. You did something you were not supposed to do. Huh? That's the truth. You say, Elder Scudder, I'm not guilty. Nobody didn't hear me cuss. You got it all wrong. Just because you ain't before somebody that will tell you, you shouldn't say nothing like that. Some people like to hang around people that do a lot of cussing because they won't condemn you for cussing. But and that's that spirit of lawlessness. I'm trying to tell you, that's the spirit of lawlessness. And that spirit is going to bring you to a point in life when you come before a righteous God, your mouth is going to be stopped. You're not going to be able to cop a plea. You're not going to be able to plead your case. According to the scripture, you will be guilty, right? Why are you guilty? Because you did something you know you were not supposed to do, right? That's the truth. Let that spirit get in you. Let that spirit work inside of you. And one day, it's going to bring you before the righteous God, the righteous judge that is going to judge the whole world by the standard of righteousness. Right? Come on, that's the truth, saints. whole world is going. He said that every mouth may be stopped. Isn't that something? That's going to be a silent day. That's the next. You know how the world makes all of this noise right now, but that is going to be a silent day when the people stand before the righteous judge, and he's going to judge the world by the standard of righteousness. That's why it behooves you and I that have a mind and want to do right. Stay with it. Don't abandon what Jesus has given you a mind to do. Why? Because you are preserving yourself from that day when everybody is going to be silent and the whole world is going to be found guilty. You don't want to be you don't want to be found guilty. You want Isaiah's scripture to be performed in your life, where it said, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him come back to Jesus. Jesus will have mercy on him. Our God will abundantly pardon him. You don't want the Lord to say you're guilty. You want the Lord to say you're excused, you're pardoned. That's what Jesus said. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't bring you into condemnation. I'm talking about people that refuse to get up under the blood. This is what you can expect from people that want nothing to do with the blood of Jesus. It's a spirit of lawlessness in them, right? It's a spirit of lawlessness in them. And we got to recognize it. We need to recognize it. It may be working in your children. It may be working in your brother or your sister. It may be working in your mother or your father. But you need to recognize the difference between Jesus and that spirit of lawlessness. That spirit of lawlessness, I told you in the beginning, is got a I want to do what I want to do attitude. And if you don't do what I want to do, I don't want nothing to do with you. Huh? Oh, yeah. I don't want to participate. I don't want to support. I want to do everything I can do to let you know I'm against what you're doing, because you're not doing what I want to do. Saints ought not to be filled with that kind of spirit. That spirit of lawlessness is deadly. That spirit of lawlessness is destructive. It's not about building up. It's about tearing down. You can't win thinking like that. When the Lord done told you the way that seems right is the way that leads to death, you can't win thinking like that, right? You can't win thinking like that. You may think you're getting by. You may think nobody's going to catch me. Nobody's going to see me. Huh? That's what people are filled with when they're filled with that spirit of lawlessness. They got that thing that nobody's going to catch me. Nobody. You see them running down the street like that. Some people seem like they push that gas pedal so fast to just see how fast they can get down the street. What are you trying to tell you? Nobody's going to catch me. Nobody's going to see me. I am running around, as they used to say, footloose and fancy free. Right? Huh? Y'all remember that movie, Footloose? Because they had all those rules in the town. And that man was determined to break those rules. He said, ain't nobody going to keep me bound. He said, if you ain't going to let me dance in your institutions, I'm going to find a space. Wasn't he dancing in a barn or something weird like that? He said, I'm going to go where I can be free at, right? That's the attitude of the people, say. You want to say, why don't folk come home in the holiness? Because they don't want to be told what to do. They want to do what they want to do, right? That's the attitude that the people have. It's not a new spirit. It's an old spirit. It's been a spirit that been fighting against Jesus since the days of Lucifer. Huh? That spirit been fighting against Jesus since the days of Lucifer. But what I'm trying to tell you, the word don't change. The word stands, saints. Huh? When everything else passes away, the word of God is going to stand. And what will the word say in the end? Guilty. Huh? You don't want Jesus to call you guilty. But the word of God says when you are overcome by that spirit, here we in here tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Some folk are filled with the spirit of lawlessness. Huh? They're filled with it. Just like you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they're filled with the spirit of lawlessness. And that spirit is going to give them a guilty verdict. One day the righteous judge is going to speak over their life and say, guilty. You don't want to be that way, saints. You thank the Lord. The Lord has birthed you out of that. When you get born again, you're born out of that. That's the only way you can get out of that spirit of lawlessness. You got to be born out of it. That's why Nicodemus, he couldn't understand that thing when Jesus was telling him he had to be born again. Because he was thinking he was doing right. He thought he was righteous. He thought he was doing right because he was doing his best to live by the word. Huh? But little did he know he was born in sin. He was born full of that spirit. I had a fella on the radio, on the TV, preaching, trying to help people understand babies. And he was saying, well, he said the babies, he said, well, sometimes the Lord takes these babies out of the earth and kills them at young ages. Because the Lord knows what things they may experience coming up. And, you know, there may be some partial truth into that. But then when he went on and said, he said, here you got a mother and a father doing all of these things to this innocent baby. That's what got me, you know, my red flag flew up then. He said, innocent baby. And you ain't got no scripture to back you up when you say that. When you categorize that child as innocent at birth, you have no scripture to back you up. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking like the scriptures do not describe no baby as being innocent. Scriptures describe that baby as the wicked. Huh? How could you say? I didn't say it. The word of God calls that child the wicked. It's filled with the spirit of lawlessness at birth. Why? Because they're born in sin. Huh? In sin did my mother conceive me. I'm born in sin. You're not born innocent. You're born in sin. You come into the world wrong. Huh? That's why you got to be born again. That's why that thing messed up Nicodemus's mind. Nicodemus said, well, hold up. Here I am doing right. Jesus said, I don't care how much right you think you're doing. You were born wrong. Huh? How would you mean? You were born in sin. And the only way you can get rid of sin is through the blood of Jesus. His name was given for the remission or for the removal of sin, right? That's the truth, saints. Y'all got that in your heads? His name was given for the removal of sin. I don't care whose baby it is. I don't care how sweet that baby looks. You got to have it in your mind that baby is born in sin. Huh? Come on, saints, it's the truth. You don't have to teach that child how to lie. You don't have to teach that child how to do wrong. It's already in them. You say, oh, it's cute. No, it ain't cute. Nothing about sin is cute. Nothing about doing wrong is cute. Especially when you know that child stands a risk of being able to come before a righteous God. And that righteous God pronounces on that child guilty. Huh? You say, Elder Scudder, what about the children that die before they can give their lives to Jesus? Before they can get born again? I want you to understand that's what makes Jesus God. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows if he would have permitted that child to live out the promise. What is the promise? 70 years. He said, it's given unto men 70 years. By reason of strength, he'll reach 80. He said, but what about the wicked? The wicked are only going to live out half their days. Huh? Oh, yes, they will. The wicked are only going to live out half their days. That's why it's imperative as parents to make sure you teach your children to obey you. Obey authority. Obey them that have the rule over you. Why? That it may be well with thee. Huh? That's the scripture. That it may be well with thee. That you might live out your days long, right? That's the truth. That's true. You might live out your days long. You know someone died before 70. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know a lot of people died before 70. And if you be honest and truthful, sin took them right out of here. Huh? Sin snatched their lives right away from them. Huh? We say, Elder Scudder, they were good people. I don't care how good they were. Sin snatched their lives right away from them. The wage of it proved itself true. Because the scripture said the wage of sin is what?
Death.
The wage of sin is death. You know that devil was very keen. That devil was very sneaky because he kept them in that state.
Yes.
Kept them in that wicked, sinful state.
Yes.
Knowing that they had an appointed time to be born and an appointed time to die.
Yes.
That devil just wants you to die in that spirit of lawlessness. Why? Because he knows when you come before a righteous judge, he's going to pronounce unto you guilty. Ah, that's what the scripture says. The whole world will be found guilty, right? Every mouth shall be silenced. Huh? Huh? You thank the Lord he gave you a mind to come on over into holiness. It's to get your soul right. Get that spirit out of you, right? Get that wrong spirit out of you and get the right one inside of you. That's the truth. Folk don't like that kind of preaching and teaching because it makes you look at yourself. Makes you look at areas of your life that you don't want to look at. Huh? Oh, yeah. Sometimes a righteous spirit will wake you up in the middle of the morning. Huh? When you should be asleep, that righteous spirit wakes you up and it lets things come across your thoughts. Let things come across your mind. Now, you be the fool to say, I need to eat. Say, I need something to drink. Say, I need to go watch television so I can go back to sleep. You are forgetting Jesus has got the power of life. And Jesus wants you to live. He don't want you to die. And when he wakes you up, he wakes you up for the purpose of letting you see salvation. He gets you up to get you to get saved so you can see salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made, right? This is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart, right? Harden not your heart. Lord, wake you up. Let him save you. Huh? Y'all heard what I said? Lord, wake you up. Let him save you. Don't get up and say, I got to go do this and go do that. Set your priorities right. Lord woke you up for you to see a day of mercy. And you need to stop right where you are and say, Jesus, I thank you for letting me see another day of mercy to get my soul right. Huh? Not to go do what I want to do. Say what I want to say. Help me to get my soul right, right? That spirit of lawlessness will snatch you out of here. It'll make you unprepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Huh? You don't want to come before a righteous judge unprepared. Huh? That's the truth. I'm trying to tell you, when you get there, you're not going to be able to lay out your case. He already knows who you are. One writer said he's done sealed up your sins in a bag. Huh? You don't want the Lord to empty out the sinful bag. Huh? In front of you. Huh? Lord, expose every wrong thing you've ever done. And then that's why the Lord said the whole world is going to be found guilty. Huh? What are you going to say when the Lord opens up the bag on your life, right? You better hope he remits it. Huh? They people talk about going down in the water. You ain't got to do it. Yes, you do. You need to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? So your sins could be washed away. He said, I will remember your sin no more, right? He will empty out your bag before the day of judgment. Huh? And then what will he say when he sees you? Huh? He will see that you are clothed in a robe of righteousness. A robe that has been dipped in his blood. Where the person beside you or around you is guilty. You're not like them. You're not like them. See, that's why you need to stop trying to be like everybody else. You don't want to be like the world, right? The world is filled with lawlessness, right? And they will be guilty when they stand before Jesus. The Lord is giving you a change of garment. Huh? Oh, yeah. He put a new fashion on you called a robe of righteousness. Huh? Come on, saints. You want to be able to be clothed in that robe of righteousness. That attitude. Lord, dress me up in a robe of righteousness. Clothe me in a garment that has an attitude. To want to do right. Huh? Come on, when you got that garment on you, when you do wrong, you feel bad.
You feel like I got to correct this thing. Why? Because I know what I got on me is righteous. And it's letting me know you're not ready to see Jesus. Why? Because you got your garment stained. Huh? You done stained your garment. Your garment is wrinkled, right? You need the Lord to remove every blemish. Remove every wrong thing out of you. Before you stand before his throne. Because when you stand before him, it's not to talk. Huh? It's not to talk. It's not to talk. It's for you to receive something. Huh? Some will receive a guilty verdict. Others will be what? Pardoned. Huh? I want to be pardoned. I want the Lord to look at me and say, I've passed over you. I bore your sin. Huh? I want the Lord to see my name on his garment. Huh? I want him to see my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. Meaning that he has done what? Pardoned me. He has excused me. He looked beyond all of my faults. And saw that I was crying, what? Mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, right? That's my cry. That's my cry. And I can't let the world take away my cry. That's the truth. Does this make sense? You don't want that spirit of lawlessness. You don't want it to flow through you. You don't want it to find a home in your mind and infect your speech. Huh? You can tell when you're infected by that spirit of lawlessness, because the scripture says you will lie, you will curse. Huh? Come on. You say, well, Scott, why can't I get rid of this cussing? You got the wrong spirit inside of you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Not that lawless spirit, right? And that James said, this ought not to be. A fountain don't bring forth both sweet and bitter at the same time. It's either one or the other, right? Lord sees you, and you need to see yourself. And you say, Lord, I don't want to be filled with that. I don't want that flowing through me. Oh, yeah, that's the truth. Spirits want to get in you to control you. I don't want that spirit to come into me. Why? Because I know if it come in me, it's going to act out. Huh? And you don't want that to act out, right? You don't want that to act out of you. Therefore, if you see it acting out, you say, I got the wrong thing in me. And you need to do what's necessary to get that thing out of you. Huh? Repentance means to get it out of you. Huh? That's why you say we got to repent all the time. Because when you see that thing come up on in you, you can say, Lord, get that thing out of me. Why? Because it's not like you. It's a spirit of lawlessness, right? And I don't want the Lord, the righteous judge, to say that I'm guilty. Huh? That's the truth. I don't want the righteous judge to say that I'm guilty. I don't want the righteous judge to silence my lips. Huh? Is that what the word say? The whole world is going to be what? Yes. Yes. Maybe what? Stopped. Huh? You better learn how to shut your mouth now. Huh? When the Lord speaks, you need to learn how to shut your mouth. Huh? The Lord said, when you come into his temple, let your mouth be shut, right? And be more ready to what? Hear. Hear what the Lord is saying to you, right? Say, Elder Scott, I just want to share. It ain't the time to share. Sometimes it's time for you to be quiet and listen, right? Lord, help me to see myself. Yeah, it's the truth. Help me to see myself so I can correct the errors of my ways. Lest I do so much talking, I'm going to talk over what the Lord is trying to show me. Huh? And that's a bad thing if the Lord is speaking and you're so busy talking, you can't hear what the Lord is saying. And what he's saying is trying to help you, right? It's trying to help who? You. You're so busy trying to help somebody else and the Lord is busy trying to help you. He's trying to help you get your life right, right? Huh? That's the truth, right? Come on, read me a little bit more.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law,
shall no flesh
be justified.
That's the truth. Ain't that a beautiful thing? That's why the word just got to be in you. That's why you thank the Lord when you got the Holy Ghost, you got the word in you. You got the word of God living in you. The word of life. It should be in you. Huh? You know, some folk, When they be trying to do holy, they be so focused on what they doing.
Yeah.
Trying to outdo.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to be like that.
Right.
I've heard people tell me when I was trying to talk to them, and they say, well, you don't understand. I pay my tithes. I come to church. I do what I'm supposed to do. I dress like this. And I'm saying to myself, you're missing the big picture. That ain't what's making you holy. You got to have it inside of you. Huh? I don't care how much tithes you pay. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care what your outfit look like. If holiness ain't inside of you, all of your righteousness is like a filthy rag, right? Lord say you are guilty, right? You're guilty. You're guilty. Why? Because you're doing it your way. Come on. Jump back over to verse number 10. 3 and 10. As it is written. That's the word. Isn't that the word? The word of God says this. There is what? None righteous. No, not one. That's why I say when the Lord wake you up, only thing you can say is have mercy on me, Jesus. Huh? You can't wake up. First thing come out your mouth. Lord, I thank you. I'm saved. Lord said, hold up. This is a day of salvation. Huh? You need to seize the moment. How are you claiming victory and you ain't even seized the moment yet? How do I seize the moment? Wake up and say, Lord, have mercy on who? Me, a sinner. I thought something, I said something, I did something that wasn't in your will, right? And I need you to have mercy on me, Jesus. If the first thing come out your mouth is, I'm saved. First thing come out your mouth, I'm not like them. I'm trying to tell you, you are more guilty than they are. Huh? Because you're having a problem seeing yourself. Huh? There is what? None. Is that what the book say? There is none righteous. No, not what? Is that what the book say? Read a little bit more. Verse never. Ain't that something? That's why I tell you, you keep me talking about, I was just talking to such and such and such, and they gave me good advice. I'm trying to tell you, they don't understand. They don't know anything about your soul. They don't know anything about what the Lord would have you to do. Huh? Only one that can give you that is the Lord's preacher. Scripture says he will feed you. Huh? Is that scripture? Come on, jump over to chapter number 10 of this very book. This very book, chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 and around about verse number 14. Start from 14. You need the Lord's preacher. It's a lot of imposters out here. It's a lot of false prophets out here. Carrying the book. Talking about the name. Healing in the name. Preaching the name. But they're false. Isn't that something? That's a sad thing to be letting truth come out your mouth. And you are false. The Lord said, I know my sheep. I know my preacher. I'm the one that sent him, right? I'm the one that sanctified him from birth, right? That's the truth. Read, what does that say? How shall they call on him? In whom they have not done what? Isn't that the key? That lets you know you need to call Jesus in faith. That word believe means faith. Huh? You say, Elder Scott, I said Jesus and nothing happened. You need to go and check your faith. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Something in me is struggling to trust you. Something in me is struggling to rely on you. I still got a I'm going to do it my way attitude, right? And the Lord say both of us can't sit on the throne at the same time, right? Somebody got to get off, right? Somebody's got to get off. So how are you going to call on Jesus? And you haven't done what? Believed in him. Do you believe in the power of the Lord? Do you believe that salvation is in the name of Jesus? Salvation ain't in your efforts. It has nothing to do with you. It's all in the name. You have moved yourself out the way and you said, Jesus, I trust your name, right? I trust your name. That man at the gate called Beautiful, he wasn't in therapy. Huh? He did not have a therapist help him get up. All he did was trust the name. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. What did they give him? In the name of Jesus. Elder Scudder, what do you have to give me? I have nothing but the name of Jesus. I'm going to encourage you to call his name. I'm going to admonish you to call his name. That's the only instruction I have for you. Huh? Call him by his name. Open up your mouth and call him by his name. Elder Scudder, I got a problem. Call Jesus by his name. Elder Scudder, such and such is bothering with me. They won't leave me alone. They're mean. Call Jesus by his name. Why? Because that's the only saving name, right? There is no salvation in any other. There's no other what? Name. Are you a man? Amen. You are a human being. So that means the name is right for you. You don't need money. You don't need education. You don't need a home. You don't need a car. All you need is the name. The name is enough. The name is enough. All you need is the name of Jesus. That's why you can say, if husband don't want to be saved, all I need is the name. Wife don't want to be saved, all I need is the name. If your children don't want to be saved, all I need is the name. I feel sorry for them, but me feeling sorry for them ain't going to take my focus off of the name. Why? Because I need that name to do for me what I can't do for myself. What can you do for yourself? I can't save myself, right? I need the name to do that. I need the name to do that. You mess around, don't want to call on the name of Jesus? That's your loss. That's your loss. Your way seems right. Your way seems like it's going to get you in. But I'm telling you, it's going to lead to your destruction. That's why you better take what the books say. Books say, open up your mouth wide. Open up your mouth wide and say, Jesus. Say it with the expectation, Lord, I need you to fill it. Jesus, right? He promised to fill it, right? He promised to fill it. That's the truth. Saints be admonishing you. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Open your mouth up and call Jesus. He said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Go right ahead. I'm telling you, it's going to lead to your destruction. And you're going to know why you destroyed. Because all you're going to hear is somebody told me to open up my mouth and call on Jesus. But what's the problem? Why don't I call him? Because you don't believe. How shall you call on him when you don't believe, right? You need to believe Jesus. And you need to be honest with yourself. Are you struggling? You need to ask the Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. That's the truth. Many times y'all back's been up against the wall. And you didn't see how you could get through it. But you knew the word wasn't going to change. Deacons come to me several times talking. But I try to tell them flat footed, that don't change the word. I feel sorry for you, but it don't change the word. You've got to obey Jesus. No matter how hard it seems, you've got to obey Jesus. You got to submit yourself to what the Lord says. I don't care how hard it gets. You need to submit yourself to what Jesus says. That's because I just don't see a way. I ain't got nothing to do with you not being able to see it. You need to ask the Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to see what you're saying, Jesus. You think because you're struggling, you're going to mess up my mind? Because I can clearly see what you should do, but you don't want to do it? That's the problem. You don't want to do it. And I can't help you if you don't want to do it. This word ain't for you, right? This word ain't for you if you don't want to do it. Had many folk walk up to me and just say, I'm done. Mm-hmm. What were they saying? I don't want to do the work. Huh? Did I go chasing behind them? No. I'm going to stay right here with Jesus. I ain't got no problem doing what the Lord's word says. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. But you realize when you, if you leave, you can go get this and go get that. But what does it profit me to gain that stuff and then lose my own soul? Huh? Why would I leave the one that has everything and follow behind someone who has nothing? All the devil got to offer you is death. And he ain't got that authority. Because Jesus said, hell and death is in my hand. I got the keys to both what? So what does the devil have? He has nothing. Writer said all he got is a lie. He is a liar, right? That's all he is a liar. That's why I say you need to recognize when someone is filled with the devil talking to you. Because all they're doing is speaking what? Lies. Trying to fill your head with a bunch of deceit. Huh? That's the truth. Adam and Eve did that. Because they listened to a liar. What did the liar do? It filled their hearts with nothing but what? Lies. But you can't fool with that devil. You can't fool. He ain't got nothing to offer you but death. He ain't even got, like I said, he ain't got death to offer you. All he got is a lie. All he is a liar. Read, did y'all finish reading? Did you finish reading? How should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without the preacher? Huh? And how in the world is he going to preach? Except the Lord do what? That's why I said you better pray that the Lord put you up under somebody that was sent by Jesus. Huh? That's why you can't go telling folks, oh, just go to somebody's church. No. Go where Jesus is at, right? Sit up under somebody Jesus sent, right? Lest you tell them to go to hell. I ain't going to encourage you to go to hell. No. Hey, don't let nobody bad talk your church. Say, I don't want to go to your church. Well, I'm trying to tell you that's where life is at. I'm not going to tell you to go nowhere else in the city because I don't know nobody else. I'm going to tell you where life is. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't underestimate. Don't devalue where the Lord has sent you. Huh? He said, how shall they preach except the Lord do what? Don't devalue what the Lord sent you. I did not get here by mistake. The Lord sent me here.
Hallelujah.
How shall he preach except the Lord do what? Send them. Right? Come on, let me read a little bit more. Here we go, some word. Here goes some law. He got the word of the Almighty God, as it is written. How beautiful, right? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Can you all look past me? Huh? Can you all look past that I might not have the finest suit? Can you look past that I might not be driving around in the finest car? Can you look past that I might not be living in the most lavish house? Can you look past that I might not have lots and lots of money in the bank? And can you see what I'm preaching? Huh? Can you hear what I'm preaching? And can you say it's beautiful? Huh? It's beautiful, right? Huh? Can you say that? And I'm not talking how I look. Huh? It ain't got nothing to do with my looks, right? Can you just say it's beautiful? How beautiful, right? Is that what the words say? How beautiful, right? Huh? The feet of this. Isn't that something? Can't you see when the Lord removes that beauty? I've seen the Lord take that beauty off of somebody. Because when they were preaching the gospel, I was looking at them. I said, ooh, the Lord is really using them. And then all of a sudden they got in their self. And it was as though the Lord took the beauty off of them. Huh? And what happened when the Lord's beauty came off? Bitterness set in. Bitterness and hatred. Scripture said rebellion. Rebellion. Cussing, right? And because you knew them the way that they were, you still try to associate. They say, but that's not. The Lord said, I done moved my beauty off of them. Open up your eyes and see them for who they are. And then when you really look at them, you say, I don't want to hear nothing they got to say. I don't want to go nowhere they got to go. Only thing they need to do is repent. All they need to do is repent, right? Unless you sit around and listen to them, they fill you with a bunch of lies. A bunch of deceit. Because that's what they're filled with, right? But be careful who you talk to. It's always a pattern. Don't ever forget that. When you look at somebody that has backslid, it's always a pattern. They've always linked up with somebody they should not be linked up with. And if you see, it's like a continuous chain. Well, I heard something such was talking to me, but do you realize who they are? That is the devil. Telling you something that they had no business telling you. Taking stuff completely out of context. And who is that? The devil. Satan knows how to take stuff completely out of context. When Eve said, I can't eat it, nor can I touch it, lest I die. The devil said, you shall not surely die. Took it completely out of context. Completely out of context. Because the devil knew death came from eating, not touching. But what did he do? Took it completely out of context. God knows the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. And you'll be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. She looked at that tree, and she saw that tree was good for food. Tree desired to make one wise. She took it. Did she die? No. She took it. And what did that liar put in her mind? Doubt. Here Jesus done told me, if I eat it and touch it. No, he didn't. He told you the day that you eat thereof, you'll die, right? Right. Yes, Lord don't need you to add nothing to his word.
That's right.
You let the devil put that thought inside your mind. And he ran with it. Partial truth. Partial truth. Did they know the difference between good and evil? Yes. When they ate that fruit, now they knew both good and, but partial truth. What didn't the devil tell them? You are dead. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit, do you think that knowledge of good and evil was swimming in their mind? Only thing they thought about is how different they were, right?
Yes,
isn't that the truth? All they thought about is how different they were. First thing they did was sew fig leaves together. Devil didn't let them know that sinning was going to bring you some shame. Did the devil let you know that? No, he don't let you know that. You be out there friending it up with people. Buddying it up with people. And then they get you to go do something you got no business doing. And they feel good about it. Because they've already made up their mind they want to go to hell. You are still on the fence. And then when you do something you know you should not do, you say, Lord, if I die tonight, I know I'm going to hell, right? And I don't want to go to hell, right? Shame. All of a sudden you see a saint call your phone. You don't even want to answer it. You turn the phone over. Shame, right? You close the blind. I don't want nobody to. Shame, right? Turn on the television. Something about Jesus. Come on. Let me turn the TV real quick. Shame. You open up the mail, look through the mail. Somebody say, Jesus got his eyes on you. Oh, no. Shame. When you where you supposed to be, you don't mind stuff like that. Jesus got his eyes on me. Amen. No, Jesus. Amen. No, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But when you shame, they get you to come to church. You walk in the church, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Shame. Shame. Devil don't let you know when you do that wrong. With wrong comes what? Shame. Help my unbelief, Lord Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of them that do what? Preach the gospel. Is that what scripture says? Preach the gospel of what? Peace. Bring glad tidings of what? Keep going. What is the problem, saints? Didn't I tell you that spirit of lawlessness? What goes along with that spirit of lawlessness? Disobedience. They have not all obeyed. That's why one writer said they are the children of disobedience, right? That's who we are. We are by nature the children of wrath. Think about that thing, saints. When you got that spirit of lawlessness in you, you despise government. You can't stand government. You can't stand rule. Government just simply looking at someone governing you. Someone telling you what to do. What is right and what is wrong. Huh? You don't like stuff like that. I want to go to a place where I feel free. Why do you think so many folk have Woodstock? And all these other little free movements. Huh? Why? Because they want to feel free. Why you can't get nobody to come to church, but they'll go full, fill up that them stadiums. Yeah. Sister Fisher going to have a hard time getting home. All because of that old crazy Eagles game. Here she is trying to get back and forth from church. And these nuts is out there drunk in the street. Because they want to go yell and act lawlessly over a football game. Keep up all that noise. Make all that noise. Screaming, hollering, but the minute you play your church music, turn that stuff down. You making too much noise. It's backwards, isn't it? Spirit of what? Lawlessness. Huh? You don't want that spirit to be in you. You don't want it to be in you. You better check it real quick. You find it surfacing and say, oh, no. That's not like Jesus. Lord would have me to be what? Obedient. Huh? The Lord would have me to be obedient. Help me, Lord Jesus, do what I am told to do. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what that you see them vows? The vows, the women don't like them vows when it comes down to them marriage vows. They want to go change it. Huh? Change the marriage vows. Marriage vows say, honor and do what? Obey him. You don't got to obey no man. Huh? It's always somebody in the crowd. Gonna come whisper behind you. I don't care what you think. You ain't got to obey no man. And look at them. They ain't got no man. Huh? See what you lacking? If you pay attention to somebody, they ain't got nobody. They don't want you to have nobody either. Then both of y'all will be sitting on the porch together. Huh? See, I told you we didn't need no man. And you'd be looking all sad. Let somebody else come down the street with the man you could have had. See, look at him. She ain't happy. See, but aren't you glad it's just me and you? Nah, I ain't glad it was just me and you. You messed my life up. It's the truth. Simple stuff. I was just going to say that about she said she had some family members. Well, because I was late coming to pick her up or something one time, and they was all up in her ear. I'm like, you shouldn't do that. I wouldn't take that from nobody. She said she had a fuck come up to her and said, now I'm going to tell you flat-footed. You better not listen to these that ain't got nobody tell you anything. They don't have nobody coming to meet them late or on time. Isn't that something? See, if I'm running late, they have nobody to meet them late or on time. And they're going to mess around and make you miss a good thing. I hope I'm a good thing. Going to make you miss a good thing, right? Now, what if she would have listened to them family members? There would be no Darren and Kirsten. There would be no 23 years. Then she stand up and say, I thank the Lord for 23 years. There would be no 23 years. She'd be sitting right with them same family members. Single. They single. They walking in together. It's a sad thing, isn't it? No man to find. What the scripture say? When a man find a wife, no man to find them. You done took yourself out the Lord's will. You took yourself out the Lord's will. You did it. Well, it ain't meant. Maybe it ain't meant for me to be married. Oh, no, it was meant. It was really meant for you to be married. You took yourself out the Lord's will. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, no. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I got a whole book back me up. Got a whole book that'll back me up. Something about it, isn't it? All right, I'm going to let y'all go. Elder Scott had a whole lot of little notes to go along with this lesson. That spirit of lawlessness is deep. You don't want that spirit to overtake you, saints. Make sure you get rid of it if it's trying to work in you. As I said, that spirit started with Satan. If you go, y'all holding your notes, writing your notes, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. That's when Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High. That's where that spirit of lawlessness began. Because he said, I will be like the Most High. Okay? That spirit of lawlessness began there. And as it says in John 8 and 44, the writer calls Satan a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning. He abode not in the truth. So when he said, I'll be like the Most High God, he stepped out of truth and stepped into a lie. Because he could never be like the Most High. But he allowed that spirit of what? Lawlessness to infect him, saints. One writer says, another one says, this spirit is not of Jesus. Why? Why is the spirit of lawlessness not of Jesus? Romans 7 and 12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. So therefore, the spirit of lawlessness is not of Jesus. Because the law is what? Holy. Right, everybody got that? The law is holy. The law is holy. The spirit of lawlessness, is it working in the land today? Can you see it? Yes. That's what 2 Timothy 2 and 7 is talking about when it says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It doth already work. Okay? Ephesians 2 and 2 says, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, spirit of lawlessness, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, spirit of lawlessness. Okay? Do not allow that spirit to infect you. Okay? It will work. It will get in you. But you need to recognize it and say, Jesus, I need this thing out of me. Why? Because that spirit is going to bring you death. Okay? That's why the scripture says that there is a way. I quoted that. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. That's in Proverbs. All right? Also, you can write in your notes, Isaiah 53, which says, all we like sheep. I think y'all read that already in Romans. Three, Romans says it the same thing, but Isaiah says it also. Isaiah 53? Give me 2 seconds. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. We got this attitude to do it the way I want to do it. And again, that is a spirit of lawlessness. I think it's Proverbs 14 and 12. There's a way that seemeth right. Is that correct? Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. Okay. So I gave you all the little thoughts, scriptures that I have concerning this lesson. I want you to make sure that you get it in your mind. Don't let that spirit of lawlessness infect you. Go ahead, sir. Yes. Isaiah 12, 14. That's dealing with where did the spirit of lawlessness originate from? Lawlessness. 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 All lawlessness. Okay? Trust you got something in the word, out the word, hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus' sake.